Cape Talk.
Health and wellness.
Well, I'm having a big smile because all of my guests are tapping their feet along to that promo, and I can see their minds thinking, ooh, that would be a good one for a dance class. You might recall a little bit earlier this month, we were chatting about music therapy in this segment, and someone called into the show commenting on how much music and dance could help people living with Parkinson's disease. And a number of you actually mailed me after that show asking about that call and asking for follow-up. We were just as intrigued as you were, so we are delighted to say that we're able to deliver that follow-up today, and with us in studio, the team from Dance for Parkinson's classes at Turning Steps are with us. This is a concept that started in New York 17 years ago. It's now practiced in 24 countries around the world. But Judy Simmons and her partner Carmen Davidson were the very first teachers in South Africa to be certified to teach these classes. And we are so pleased to have them with us today. Welcome and thanks for responding to the invitation, Judy and Carmen. Lovely to have you here too.
Thank you so much.
And the additional guest with us is physiotherapist Talia Jehoshaphat, who regularly refers her patients to these classes. Talia, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you, Papa. Lovely.
In fact, I'd like to start with you, Talia, because as the healthcare professional in the room, I think you're probably best placed to give us the overall picture here of what, in broad layman's terms, Parkinson's disease actually is.
Okay, so Parkinson's is primarily a movement disorder caused by changes in the brain. So technically what that means is that a part of the brain which releases dopamine becomes slowly dysfunctional over a period of time. And the function of that part of the brain is to control and coordinate movement. So what happens in Parkinson's is as the nerve cells slowly degenerate, the controlling and the coordination of movement becomes less and less.
Okay, so motor skills are affected, coordination and flexibility.
Yeah.
Is there effect on the cognitive working of the mind as well?
There is. So there are the motor symptoms, as you mentioned, and then there are the sort of less recognized non-motor symptoms, those the cognitive changes, mm-hmm. such as difficulty with attention.
Okay.
Emotional changes, depression, apathy and anxiety can be a factor. Sleep problems, constipation can also impact on people with Parkinson's. And then imagine somebody with all those movement disorders and the other challenges trying to carry out a complex movement. So it becomes difficult, for example, to walk on unsteady ground and then to turn and hear somebody call you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know even, you know, the everyday tasks we all take for granted of brushing your teeth, buttoning your shirt up, tying your shoelaces.
Right.
Not to say that they can't be done, but they become substantially more challenging and it takes more time to achieve those. And it is a degenerative progressive disease, is it not?
It is. I almost feel at this juncture to say it is a progressive degenerative disease, and there's a lot that they realize that people realize that they can't do, but the amazing thing is with a little bit of guidance and with a little bit of the right input, people with Parkinson's can learn how to do that. It's not easy and there's no magic wand, but people can, after a little bit of therapy and movement and exercise, open their buttons a little easier, brush their teeth a little easier, stand a little bit prouder.
That is fantastic to hear, and I'm sure that's sort of a light of hope going off for many of our listeners who are grappling with this in their own family. I do want to just extend the invitation that if you want to ask a question, find out more about the subject we're discussing, or share with us your own experiences, you can call in on 021-446-0567, or you're very welcome to leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Now, Judy, let's pause the medical part of the conversation there and bring the dance element into it. You're both dance teachers by training, but how did you come to specialize in this particular field of dance for Parkinson's?
Hi. I had a ballet school in Somerset West, and a little girl, Jessie, has a grandmother, Audrey, and Audrey is to bring Jessie to ballet. And 3 years ago, Audrey, who's got Parkinson's, told me about this link on the internet. She'd seen Dance for Parkinson's, actually called Dance for PD in the States. And a couple of months went by, and I eventually went onto the link and looked at it. And it just drew me. It was just absolutely the next step in the dance journey. And I was fortunate enough to make it to New York and do the first course. And then a year later, Carmen and I got back in touch with each other, and she was the other second person from South Africa who'd had an interest in dance for PD. and we decided to continue together.
So, Carmen, how did you find out about Dance for PD in the first place?
Dance for PD was featured in a dance teacher's magazine.
Okay.
Back in about 2011, and I saw it there, and many, many moons ago, I qualified as a diagnostic radiographer, and I think all along after that, I just kept thinking there's got to be more purpose for dance in the health world, something other than just teaching little people to do ballet. And so when I read that article, it just really struck a chord with me, but I wasn't in a position to pursue it then. In fact, I wasn't in a position to pursue it until I moved to Cape Town at the beginning of last year and made contact with Julie. Yes.
So the two of you, the first certified teachers in Dance for PD in South Africa, and we'll talk a little bit later about what you're doing about sharing that knowledge and broadening the scope of this. But let's talk about what you currently offer. Julie, where do you offer classes and how often?
Okay, so we offer classes in Somerset West, Pinelands, Constantia, Moulie Point, and Fishhook. And we have classes, we have about 6 or 7 classes a week. And then people choose to come to one or sometimes two. Talia's dad comes to 2 classes a week because we love him and he loves us. at the moment, that's where we are, based around Somerset West and Greater Cape Town. Yes.
Okay. Now let's talk about what a typical class involves, Carmen. So it's not your standard ballet, stand up to the bar, do your warm-up exercises, then go and take on the floor routine. It's got to be substantially different. What actually happens at one of your classes?
In our classes, we begin seated, first of all. So half the class is done seated. We use the seated portion of the class to really explore range of movement while it's secure. Then people with Parkinson's have quite a large challenge with balance. So being seated takes anxiety away from that. Mm-hmm. We do a warm-up because that's just a good practice for any dance
any
class.
Kind of physical activity. Yeah.
And we then, so we work through slow warm-up to quite quick, challenging, complicated footwork. Having said complicated, that's not to be putting off-putting. And then we do stand up about halfway through the class. We stand up and we use our chairs as a ballet bar or a dance bar. And we then do knee bends, foot stretches, leg throws. So they have ballet terms, but they're just movements that explore what we have to be aware of in our bodies to balance on our feet with the support of the chair. After that section, we then leave the chair and we start to move across the floor. So we could do group dances or partner dances or just individual things which move across the floor in different ways. People at any point can opt to sit down. So some people will come and do the entire class seated, and that is absolutely fine. We adjust the steps, anything we do, to be suitable for a seated person.
Okay.
All the time drawing on different genres of dance. So we've got ballet, a bit of jazz, our own little version of certain ballroom styles. Yeah, Wikipedia has been great for things like tango and cha-cha. But yeah, we draw on a lot of dance styles just to create variety and fun. And laughter is a big part. Yeah.
Okay. What about the music? Julie, how do you put together a playlist for a class like this? Do you intentionally go and find music of the era of the people who come into your class, or do you mix it up?
Yeah, it's quite amazing. You know, when I first started, when I got back from New York, I had bought all the resources in New York because I was so nervous to launch a program that I actually didn't know very much about. I'd only met one person with Parkinson's in my life until I went to New York. So I stuck with the original Dance for PD CDs, which is just piano music, which is exceptional, beautiful, and wonderful. And then it, you know, also has jazz and it has your Broadway stuff. But then when I became a little bit more confident, then I started bringing in mixes of music. And Carmen and I have realized we do a playlist every week and we decide, right, this is the mix. And some of our PD people give us, you know, oh, we love this song, or won't you play that? And then we add it in and it really lightens everybody up. And, you know, sometimes we even have sort of sad emotional moments, you know, when a piece of music's playing. And it also is a bit cathartic as well. So, yeah, but we do choose our music very, very carefully. And sometimes we bomb out completely. But most of the time we get it right.
Talia, as a physio and as the daughter of someone living with PD, let's talk about the physical impact of the classes. I mean, there's a reason clearly why you are referring patients to these classes. What is it doing for them physically, first of all?
Okay, so Pippa, exercise is medicine. And research has caught up with what I think we've seen clinically in our practices for a long time. Exercise is medicine. And there's this amazing concept that exercise is neuroprotective, which means that exercise may protect the vulnerable dopamine neurons. And this is what I was saying earlier. This is really exciting for people with Parkinson's because it means that they can personally have a direct influence on their current condition and the rate at which the degeneration will play itself out. So simply put, moving, the more you move, the more the brain remembers how to move.
Julie, let's add to that. I hear what Talia's saying, how empowering it must be to have this condition, which for so many people must feel disempowering in the extreme, that control is being taken away from you, to suddenly have something I can do that can make a difference is part of it. There must be additional emotional benefits to it, because I know from dance classes it takes you out of yourself completely. You lose the day, you lose the worries about work, you just focus on, in my case, your complete inept footsteps and trying to get it right, and the music. What do you see happening to the people in your classes?
Well, I think the biggest draw card is that you just feel so welcomed and so loved when you come into these classes. There's no pressure. It's always, people are always anxious to start something new, regardless whether you've got PD or not. Mm. So the first step is just to come into a class. Once they've been in the class, I'd say for 2-3 minutes, and they see the vibe and feel the energy, already there's sort of like a moment, because they're with fellow people who understand, you know, and no judgment. So I think that's the first thing, even before we started dancing, you know. And it's just the element of, even if I'm not going to do any dancing today, I'm going to sit and listen to the music. It's awesome. There are 20 people that, you know, we can have a laugh with and a giggle. So I see impressive strides every week in every dancer. And we did a comparison. A new lady joined a couple of weeks ago, and she sat next to a couple who've been dancing with us for about a year. And I still commented. I thought, sure, you know, to the older couple, I said, you know, she really struggled today. You know, that was quite a challenge. And they said, oh, no, we noticed that. And I said, do you know that you guys were that last year? And they were like, what? Really? You know, that you just don't even you don't appreciate how much benefit you're getting, because it just becomes so natural. And the movement with the music becomes so natural that it's not a struggle. You just get transported, and you can take those tools home with you. You know, we've got people that are really committed and they do these little exercises and sequences at home. You know, and that, so it's not just come to the class once a week, okay, that's it. No, they're tools and methods and cues that we give them that they can carry through. We had one guy in Fishhook, he struggled in the supermarket, I think. And he said, how was he going to get there? He was going to choreograph or dance it. Remember, he said he was going to do something. What did he learn in dance this week that he can get from this point to that point? And he made it from, and this is, somebody has said this before in the States, I think. But then one of our own people said, and we thought like, hey, we've heard that before. And yeah, he did it. He used, okay, I did the tango or the whatever, and I got from A to B. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Just to wrap up the conversation around dance for Parkinson's, a couple of questions coming through, including a caller asking, how early, sort of at what point in your Parkinson's journey does one start these classes? Talia, is it suitable for anyone, even with early onset, or is there a particular point at which it's a good idea?
Definitely. Start early, start now. And there's no stopping point. There is no stopping point. You can use your chair for balance. I've seen Carmen come in and assist somebody with balance. So start as soon as possible and never stop.
Fantastic. Trish asking, is it for both men and women? The answer is emphatically yes. Is
most
it not?
Definitely yes.
Okay. And then a lot of people saying, I'd love to go. What are the chances of a class in my area, etc.? I know, Julie and Carmen, I said you were the first two certified, but really part of your mission is to make this more widely available, and you've been working hard at training new teachers. What are the plans to expand the access to Dance for Parkinson's in South Africa?
The plans to expand for Julie and myself and one other teacher, Barbara, within Cape Town is to perhaps clone ourselves. But we are open to starting classes as many as are needed. I think that is our main aim, is to make it accessible wherever people are. And then we are about to do our second training course, which will happen next weekend in Durban. And we're looking at almost 10 people registered for that. So that'll be 10 new teachers.
Fantastic.
Which will mean that outside of Cape Town, there are 14 teachers teaching this. And that is, I think, the best way to get the program out there, is to train the people who can give the classes. And yeah, so our bases, we've got Potchefstroom, Pretoria, we have somebody coming from Joburg, we've got people from Durban, Maritzburg, East London, Port Elizabeth. It's
and
getting
Harare.
Out there. Yes, okay. And they're going to hit Zimbabwe too.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, we've had someone saying, please, we need this in Mitchell's Plain, for example. Get the message out there and get it spreading. Yes. If anyone listening thinks, I would love to be involved, how do they actually make contact with you to discuss how that happens?
Sure. We've got a website, www.danceforparkinsonssa.co.za. We are also on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook under Dance for Parkinson's. You'll find us there. That's probably the easiest. And you can get our cell phone numbers off there, and you're welcome to give us a call. We're always looking for people to help as volunteers. Mm-hmm. Volunteers are people that just come into the class to assist those who need help. So there's a place for everybody.
Well, two lovely messages I'd like to leave you with. One is from Cynthia on our SMS line, who sends a bunch of virtual roses to those ladies.
Thank you,
she
Cynthia.
Says, well done, but the reward comes from teaching those folks. She says, my group of older ladies give me the best inspiration to keep going and keep teaching. And then a lovely email in from Anthea, whose husband actually comes to your classes. She says he has Parkinson's and is unable to participate in any form of vigorous exercise. The gentle ballet-type stretch movements to music were well within his limitations, and to his surprise, he had fun. She goes on to write, Julie is warm and empathetic, and one cannot help but be buoyed by her bubbly personality. She is promoting a great activity for people who are often sedentary, and she needs all the support we can muster. Well, all I can say is we echo that, Anthea, and it's been lovely to meet all three of you, Talia, Carmen, and Julie. Thanks for sharing the story with us, and we wish that this may expand and roll out across the country.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Please go and check out Dance for Parkinson's essay if you would like more information, and thanks so much for the positive feedback on the SMS line to those listening.